This message from Lido and Maida is more of a discourse today. And of course, the title is Service Within Our True Sisterhood in the Spiritual Realms. There is great teamwork and collaboration in heaven, more than we may imagine. We often think of specific individual masters as being kind of on their own, doing their thing. You know, El Morya is there in Darjeeling, and he answers our prayers. Or the divine director is somewhere in Europe or wherever he decides to be, doing his thing. Yet with an understanding of spiritual community and what's been called the egregore, and what we have heard again and again through the teachings of Omram Mikhail Ivanhoff, we now know that when you ascend and become one with God, even though you retain your individual spirit spark and your identity and the collectivization of all the virtues that you have pictured and continue to move through and manifest through your life, you are part of this great ocean of beingness that is the universal spirit of light and of God. And the sisterhood, the brotherhood, the sense of family, of community, is very powerful and all-encompassing. You know instantly through telepathic communication what you may desire to know from higher beings as you collaborate with them. You can share what you are doing and facilitating through your ongoing spiritual work instantaneously with any divine being, because there is this sense of oneness. And even though there are levels of attainment, it's not so much of a separate level, let's say the different levels of the etheric plane that we've heard of, the 33 levels. There's a gradual increase in light as you go higher and higher into the most sublime regions of godliness and oneness with the source. And the ability to move higher is always there as an option. And even as an ascended being, you have to get used to the more rarefied and intense levels of light that play upon your being and must be accommodated and allowed to flow through you. So this is what takes, if you could call it time, it is time for an ascended master to really understand and capture and master as they move higher. The collaboration, though, and the service between the Sisters of Heaven is amazing, as we just saw with these three beings speaking as one in a very powerful way. How did they merge their voices, their beings together as one? Well, it's simple for them because they just kind of move as light beings right into each other's company, into each other's presence, and they have permission, and then there's this glowing resource right there that's very powerful that we were all witness to just a few moments ago. You may have even experienced yourself, even in this life, where a divine being actually moved through your auric field, or you, through your meditation practice, were able to actually become one with a master in consciousness by complete focus and dedication to that alchemy of oneness. Well, in heaven, because everything is different and more real and beautiful and sublime, you can actually interpenetrate with permission with a divine being to experience the amazing light energy field of that one. For moments, not, you know, permanently, but for moments. And in that tryst, there is the ingestion of you, of great divine light and energy. And there is the amalgamation of this force and power so that you can experience what it would be like to be a cosmic being before you actually have the full attainment to manifest that in totality all the time. The collaboration between Leto and Maida, Mother Mary, and other of the Archei is wonderful to behold because they care so much about humanity. They understand all the divine sciences and the dynamics of light and what can be brought to bear in our world because of the prayerful ones upon earth and those who, first of all, realize that they exist, who call to them, who invite them through their prayers, invocations, and meditations to enter our world. Therefore, their service is magnified, accentuated, and multiplied because of the calls and the intention of humanity, especially the I Am students, the Bridge to Freedom, Summit Lighthouse, and now the Heart Center movements and other movements even that call on them, even if they may not have sponsored messengers. When they are aware of these beings and people pray and have the purity of heart, even if that so-called messenger is not really sanctioned by the Great White Brotherhood, because of the purity of hearts of the members, they too can have the light of these great beings focused in their world and assisting them. So the collaboration, the work, is always sacred. And when Leto and Maida work together in the sisterhood in the spiritual realms, it is always to bring blessing, boon, and benevolence, the three B's that we use sometimes, to souls, to all of us. And the self-mastery that we must demonstrate in order to truly access the higher levels of light that they can offer us is what we can focus on. Initially, when we get to know masters, we read about them, we pray to them in the preambles, yet have we really made the deeper connection with their spirits that will accommodate the fact that they do have these great abilities to help us self-transform ourselves when we can actually merge and blend with their light fields, their immense auras of pure starry and crystalline light. If you can shift from looking at the Ascended Masters as more anthropomorphic in human form, but just light beings, and see them more as these great divine energy beings that you can actually plug into, and that you can merge with, that you can feel and accommodate in your world, you may just have a greater infusion throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout your month and year and life of greater divine stimuli and the impetuses which will move you ever into higher consciousness. So you have to accept the possibility that this can happen first for it to happen. If, as we heard in this heart stream, you see yourself as less than, as only human, then how can heaven fully embrace you in your divinity, in your true self? So it's daunting, and they said, you know, you have to dare. You have to dare to be God and to invite God, and not just invite God, but really meditate and be the light to the point where the light really sings and shines and dances within you. Part of what these great lady masters do when beings come to the retreats of the Great White Brotherhood at night in their finer bodies or some who come when they're able to penetrate the veil in higher levels of meditation, or even some who can leave their bodies consciously and go there, is to always give the sense to the souls of light upon earth who are evolving here that they are worthy, they are God, they have the light within them. They always fan the fire of this godliness within the disciples, the initiates, and those who are moving into their adeptship, to provide the sense that they have within them what it takes to master themselves, to move on, and to fulfill their mission upon earth. There is never, ever a sense of condemnation or that the soul is imperfect, less than, a sinner, all of the stuff that we hear upon earth. And every time you read a book about a near-death experience, at least the ones that are really inspired, you have this common theme that runs through what people feel when they go through the near-death or they actually die and then come back, is that heaven is just a place of light, of love. There is absolutely not a sense of hell or eternal damnation or all of this stuff, and that even great sinners or people that have issues in this life are embraced and taught, and that the teaching that they receive really is simply reflected by the Ascended Master to them so that they can rise higher on their own britches or on their own bootstraps. In other words, you have to do the work. You have to be the initiate. You have to challenge yourself and go higher and aspire to this divine life. And it's already there within you, yet you have to be daunting and courageous to realize it, to accept that. Now, we've heard over and over through many mystical teachings and the Ascended Master teachings and the more advanced esoteric teachings upon earth, a lot of these themes and dynamics. We've read about them, we've reflected upon them, we've read upon them again, we've reflected upon them, we've read. How many of us, though, have really taken the leap to go there, to be intrepid, to so suffuse ourselves in the Ascended Master consciousness and allow our natural state of divinity to blaze through us that we can call an Ascended Master a friend, that we can relate to them as a co-equal, on par with them, that we can actually not be fearful or feel that we are somehow this little puny creature compared to their authentic, audacious God beingness, that we, as a God being ourselves, have the ability to really befriend El Moria, the Divine Director, Maitreya, Jesus, Saint Germain, Mother Mary, and the Ladies of Heaven. We have to almost role play to get in the mode of feeling that we are integrated enough, that we are worthy enough to live in this state, while simultaneously, of course, not having ego or puff ourselves up that we are better than anyone else. And there's a fine line there because many New Age people, unfortunately, strut around, you know, saying, I know Saint Germain, or, you know, there was this guy at Mount Shasta who made himself look like Saint Germain and called himself Saint Germain, basically, and, you know, he wasn't Saint Germain. Now, I will have to say that at least give him credit for attempting to live at this level. I do have to honor this individual for doing that and trying to feel what it's like to be the master. So it's a fine line there that you can't cross where you're obviously in your ego and you are strutting about versus the real thing where you have this deep, abiding relationship and interchange and interaction with the true ascended masters and not their fallacious and ungodly interloping impersonators. A lot of adjectives there. So there are so many who impersonate the masters. And I'd like to expose right now on behalf of Lito and Maita, which many of you have heard before, you know, the name Sananda. Unfortunately, people think that Jesus has changed his name to Sananda. And there are people probably even in our movement who relate to Jesus with this name. He has not changed his name. The name Sananda has been exposed long ago as being a false hierarchy impersonator of Jesus. Imagine what it would be like if you claimed that Robert Beasley changed his name to David Lewis. And he wanted everything about me. I'm the messenger now, you know. Now, it's okay. He is a messenger in his own right, and he has a right to do his thing. But, you know, you don't go around impersonating and claiming that you're someone else. And this is what these beings do. So we always have to be careful when we start rising into the ascended master realms that we are aware, conscious, that we never get caught in this web of deceit and deception of the quasi world, which is really an astral world. I love you, Robin. I just used you as an example. Yeah. You're one of my buddies, actually. But you get the gist. So the seven holy Kumaras, some of their names are very close to Sa. It's actually Sa Ananda, I believe, is one of them. I'd have to look at the names again. We had their names revealed during one of our Mayer University courses. So there is a being whose name is like that, who is a divine Kumara from Venus, who is a very high being, one of the lords of Venus. So I'm not saying that the name Sa Ananda is not a true master. It's just that it's not Jesus. And for whatever reason, they interjected this little teaching here because someone somewhere in our movement had to hear that. Maybe more than one person. There is so much disinformation out there. And I have to say, even in the Mount Shasta area, beautiful people who have been taken by certain misperceptions, misconceptions, because everyone wants to live in this la-la land of divine beingness when they haven't done the inner work to really fuse themselves with the ascended masters. So they kind of pretend, and through their pretension, they kind of sense and feel that they're there living in this great state of beingness. And yet some of them, if you really observe their lives, they haven't accomplished much. They haven't really done the work or proven through fruits of their lives that they have this attainment. And I think if you look at the lives of the true ascended master initiates, Omram Mikhail Ivanhoff, look at the amazing wealth and breadth of teaching that he presented to the world that now is coming in all of these beautiful books of the transcribed discourses that he gave. So I hitch my star to masters such as this who have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are real, that they originate from the source. There's a pure stream of divine intelligent energy and consciousness that they emanate, that they deliver through their messages. And I have to say, I've never found one word in reading the Master Omram Mikhail Ivanhoff's teachings that I disagree with. Yes, he uses the different colors of the chakras than what we in the Summit Lighthouse and the Bridge and the I Am movement used. That doesn't diminish his teaching or what he delivered to the earth, however.